Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is part three of Transformed, this series where we're learning how to change the way we think, because so many problems in life are because of wrong decisions or bad attitudes. A lot of us find ourselves in trouble because of stinking thinking. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, the way you think determines who you become, and that's why we've been going through Romans 12, 1 and 2. I don't know about you, but right now, more than ever, we need to guard how we think. Let's look back at verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That word renewing in the original Greek is the word anakinosis. Anakinosis means a renovation. Now, I am a renovator and remodeler. Give me the biggest, ugliest, most beat-up house on the block, and that one is mine. That's the one I want. I love to renovate. So what the Bible is saying here, this really gets my attention, is that if you want to be transformed, if you want to be a living sacrifice and know and live out the will of God, you've got to renovate your mind. Think about it. What do you do when you renovate? You tear out the old and you bring in the new. So I know that I can't see you through the lens, even though pretend like I can, okay? I can't see you through the lens, but how many of you want to be more like Jesus? Give me a thumbs up if you want to be more like Jesus, okay? All right, if that's you, you answered yes, and let me help you. You'll never change the way you live until you change the way you think. If you want to be more like Jesus, there has to be a renovation going on in your mind. You've got to remove your old way of thinking and adopt a new way of thinking. So out with the old and in with the new. And I wish I could tell you this is a one-time thing, but it's not. You can't go to Bible boot camp and learn how to think like a Christian and be done with it. That's not how it works. Renovations take time and effort. We have to daily renovate our minds, daily renew our minds, because the truth is, all of us, every one of us, we are all prone to think like the world thinks. Every one of us. I was talking to somebody last week, and a Christian lady, and she was sharing with me that she was watching a TV show, and this TV show glorified adultery. And she said, you know, after watching several episodes of this show, I found myself wanting this man and this woman to be together, but then it dawned on me, he's married to somebody else, and this isn't right. You see, the world doesn't think like God thinks. The world systems of this world are in opposition to God's systems, and the temptation, it's very easy if you're not careful for us to start thinking like the world around us. And she said, immediately when I realized that, when the Holy Spirit convicted me of what I was watching and how I was thinking, I turned the TV off and haven't watched the show again. So you see, it's a constant process. The world is constantly trying to influence us, so we have to go through this daily renovation, this daily process of out with the old way of thinking and in with the new. This morning, I want to give you three truths about renovating your mind, three simple truths. Number one, it takes wisdom. When you go to remodel a house, you don't just run in there with a sledgehammer and start knocking down walls, right? If you do that, you will die. Okay, you have to use wisdom when you renovate. You need to learn where the electrical wires are, where the drain lines are, how the water lines are in, which walls are load-bearing and which walls are not. If you don't use wisdom, you're going to get hurt. So tell somebody or tell yourself, don't hurt yourself. Okay, you have to use wisdom when you renovate a house, and you have to use even more wisdom when you renovate your mind, when you change the way you think. Because your mind is more important than any house made by human hands. God created you, and he gave you your mind, and it's the only one he's ever going to give you. so you better take care of it and use it well. When you become a Christian, you're supposed to stop thinking like the world and start thinking like JC, Jesus Christ. But some people, when they become Christians, they start thinking like another JC, just crazy. Okay? God didn't call you to be a crazy person. He called you to be like Jesus. So let me just tell you why I've got your attention. Stop believing every conspiracy theory that you read on the internet and you hear on TV. Dear Jesus, the Illuminati did not create the coronavirus. Some of y'all are just crazy when you need to be thinking like Jesus. God has called us to be level-headed and reasonable, rational people. Some of the greatest scientists in the history of humanity have been Christians, believers, Bible-believing people. Even today, some of the leading astrophysicists are Christians. God has called us to be smart people. He's called us to be level-headed, reasonable, rational people. In fact, when the world goes crazy, we ought to be the ones they look to for help. Can I get an amen? Not the ones they point at and say, they have lost their minds. Come on, y'all. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Come on, tell somebody, don't be crazy, just be like Jesus. Listen to this, I love this. I love what the Bible says. Colossians 2:3, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Jesus has all the wisdom and knowledge you could ever need, and here's even better news, he will give you as much as you ask for. The Bible says in James 1:15, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God has an abundant supply of wisdom, and he'll give you as much of it as you need, as much as you want. And what, think about it, what's the number one way that God gives us wisdom? Through his word, through the Bible. If you want to be wise, if you want to have a competitive edge on the world, you need to open up the pages of the word of God and begin to study and read. Because there is no limit to the amount of wisdom you'll learn from the word of God. Because God's wisdom isn't like this world's wisdom. In fact, God's wisdom is often the direct opposite of the wisdom of this world. The Apostle James teaches us that there are two kinds of wisdom, wisdom from above and wisdom from below. The wisdom of this world is selfish in nature, but the wisdom from above is the wisdom that comes from God. And as a Christian, as a believer, as a child of God, you have to make a decision. Are you going to follow the people around you, or are you going to seek God's approval and live by his standards? The wisdom of this world says everybody's doing it, so I'm going to do it. Wisdom from above says God says don't, so I won't. The wisdom of this world is about popularity and pleasure, but the wisdom of God is about salvation and eternal life. And I really think it's all about perspective. So ask yourself, and this has been kind of a theme of mine the last 2 weeks, ask yourself, who are you listening to and who are you hanging around? Are you being influenced by God's perspective or by the world's perspective? The wisdom from above or the wisdom from below? I'll give you an illustration of this. I hate fire ants. In fact, I've never met somebody who likes fire ants. I absolutely hate them. And here at Generation Church, we have the world's largest collection of fire ants. It seems like every time we turn around, there's 1,000 ant hills on the 20 plus acres we have out here. They're just everywhere. And during a church event one summer, I took this powder and I sprinkled it on the fire ant mound. And the way this poison works is that it attracts them. So the poison lands on the mound, and to them, it smells good and it tastes good, so they run and they grab it and they take it into the colony and they share it with all their friends, okay? So the wisdom from below would say, this is good, it feels good, it tastes good, everybody else is participating, so we might as well get involved in this too. But the wisdom from above says, if you eat it, it's going to kill you. And I think far too many times we fall in love with the world. We get infatuated with the world around us and popular culture, and we start living like everybody else. And God is looking down from heaven saying, hey, don't do that. It's going to destroy you. You see, the only real wisdom is wisdom that comes from God, wisdom that comes from above. Everything else will get you in trouble. I'm almost done. Three facts about renovating your mind. One, it takes wisdom. Two, it takes work. Renewing your mind is not easy. Some of you, your mind is like a toddler. It is always wandering off in the wrong direction. So you need to keep track of where your mind goes. Renovating your mind takes a lot of work. So keep track of your thoughts. Beware of what's going on in your mind and what you allow to stay there. Here's the thing, every one of us, we all struggle with wrong thoughts. You can't control the thoughts that come in, but you do control what happens once they get there. You see, you can't help if a thought pops in your mind, but you're responsible for how you handle and address that thought. As the old saying goes, you can't help it if a bird lands on your head, but you don't have to let it build a nest there. Let me give you some guidance on spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, listen to this, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So according to what we just read, the spiritual battle we fight is fought in the mind with thoughts and imaginations. Look back at verse 5. Bringing into captivity, taking captive every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So when you have a thought that comes in your mind that is contrary to the word of God and the ways of God and the will of God, you need to take that thought prisoner. When you have a bad thought, you think to yourself, I'm so mad, I want to punch them in the face. Take that thought captive into obedience to Christ. Think about what Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. See, that thought doesn't line up with God, so I'm taking it captive. I'm putting it in the holding cell because Jesus said, I'm here to make peace. If you have a bad thought, I want to cuss you out. You just take that thought captive because Proverbs 15:1 says a soft answer turns away wrath. Hello. You have a bad thought. You know what? I'm tired. I'm tired of being quarantined, sitting around the house. I just want to get drunk or go get high tonight. Take that thought captive. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You have a bad thought. Well, we're not married, but I love him, and I feel all tingly-wingly. Take that thought captive. Ephesians 5:3, among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, for it is improper for God's holy people. Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Woo, that's tough preaching. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Child of God, this is where we fight our battles. When you have a sinful thought come into your mind, rise up and fight and take it captive in the name of Jesus. Don't sit there and dwell on it and feed that thought. And it's not just sinful thoughts, it's thoughts of doubt and thoughts of defeat. When you have a negative thought, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, take that thought captive, because Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 31:3, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. God loves you and God cares about you. When you have a negative thought, and I think people are having this thought right now, I'm sick and I'm going to die. Hold that thought captive. Psalm 118:17 says, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Isaiah 53:5, for he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health to you and heal you of all your wounds. Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord your healer. Take those thoughts captive and line them up with the word of God. Here's another negative thought. I can't afford to tithe. Ooh. Leviticus 27:30, the tithe belongs to God. I'm not going to hold on to something that's not mine anyway. But there's a blessing that comes with obedience. Malachi 3:10, bring the tithes into the storehouse and God will open up the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing you won't have room to contain. Here's another negative thought. I can't do it and I can't make it. This is just too much for me right now. Take that thought captive. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. Matthew 19:26, Jesus said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark 9:23, anything is possible to those who believe. Romans 8:31, one of my favorite verses, if God is for us, who can be against us? Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I am the Lord your God. Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. I remember reading a letter from one of the crew members on the Titanic. And he said, of course, being a part of the crew, he went down with the ship, and the ship was beneath him. And when the smokestack went under the water, he was sucked down below the surface of the water towards that thing. And he was going down deep. And immediately, in the midst of that panic and terror, he remembered Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all his ways. And about that time, he said, I can't explain it other than I know it was a miracle of God. A big air bubble came and pushed him up to the surface. Listen, there is no situation that God cannot turn around. But you need to do some warfare in your mind. You need to take those thoughts of fear that have been gripping you, those thoughts of doubt and discouragement, those thoughts that make you want to give up and quit. You need to hold those thoughts captive and stand on the word of God. Stop thinking using the wisdom of below. Use the wisdom from above. Think the thoughts of God. Stand on his word. When the devil comes at you with what he says, you come at him with what God says. That's exactly what Jesus did. 2 Corinthians 2:4-5, I'm going to read this again, then I'm going to go to point three and be done. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. You're not playing around with a little squirt gun. You've got mighty weapons in God, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Thoughts and imaginations are dangerous, but they are no match for the power of God. And as the worship team comes, and as we get ready to enter into a time of worship, I want to ask my wife to come and close with point number three. One, it takes wisdom. Two, it takes work. Number three, it's worth it. It's worth it. You haven't lived till you've lived for Jesus.
Amen. It is so worth it. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not living for God. Maybe you feel condemned by the sin in your life and you think, I've done so much that why would God love me? Whenever I don't even love myself. But I have something to tell you today. And that is, Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you even when you don't love yourself. It doesn't matter how good of a person you've been. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. It doesn't matter how bad of a person you've been. God doesn't save you based on how you've lived your life. God saves you based on one thing and one thing only. He saves you because he loves you. And he loves you so much. He loves you enough that he sent his son to die so that you don't have to bear the weight of this world. He did that for you. That's how much he loves you. To repent. All you have to do is to repent. What is that? Turn away from your sin and turn to God. I used to tell my kids all the time in kids' church, is to repent is to turn away. Turn your back. Not do this. That's not true repentance. Repentance is to turn your back and to never go back. Repent and true repentance is to turn away from that sin. It's not to lay down at night and say, God, forgive me, and then in the morning get up and do it all over again. It's to repent from it and to go away from it. But God loves you regardless of how you live. He loves you so much. In John 10:10, it says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. If you're not living for Jesus, you've never really lived. And now's the time to live. You may be shut up in your house or on lockdown and things may look grim, but now is the time to reset. Just like Jim Parrish said, it's the time to get on your knees. It's the time to have that time with your family. It's the time to take back what you need in your life, which is family and God. Now's the time when you can spend time in the Word and be on your knees praying and seeking God's face. Because whenever life gets back to normal, you're not going to have what you have right now where you can just immerse yourself in Jesus. You can show your kids the love of Jesus. You can go on prayer walks and just take the time to fall in love with your family and with God like you've never done before. Take this opportunity that we have been given and seize it. And right now, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to give you the absolute simplest prayer, because we try to complicate God. We try to put him in this box, but God is not complicated. He said, all you have to do is believe that I sent my son to die on the cross and confess with your mouth and you will be saved. So if you're not living for God the way you need to be living for God, and if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all you have to do is repeat after me this simple prayer. So I'm going to say it and you repeat it. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I believe in you. Save me. Set me free. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And help me. I will live for you the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer and you believe it with all of your heart, I ask that you connect with us. You can go to gc.life and fill out a red card. We want to connect with you. We want to pray for you. We want to know what's going on in your life. So use our red cards. We have where you can put prayer requests in. During this time, we're praying for you. We're praying for your family. Make sure that you fill out that red card. We want to hear from you. We're not hearing from you enough. We want to hear from you more because we miss you guys. Before we're going to close out in a set of worship, you know, but before we close out in worship, I want to challenge you to take this time to transform your mind. Take this time that God has given us to reset. Stop living in fear. Stop listening to everything you're being told and start listening to what God is telling you. Take this time to enjoy your family, to enjoy your spouse. If you're alone, take this time to check in on your neighbors. Take this time to get deeper in the Word. Take this time to grow. and be a better person coming out of this, because that's what God wants. He wants us better. So before we sing our worship song, I'm going to pray over our family that's watching, over the five people that are sitting before me, and over people that are watching all over America and overseas. Just, Lord, we just thank you for today. And God, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to come before you and to worship in a land that is free, where we can freely worship you, Father. Lord, that even though right now we've been confined to our homes and are having to stay safe, Father, you are still where we are, Father, that there's no distance in prayer. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that right now during this time, we take this time to renew our minds, Lord, that we take this time to renew our families, Lord, to reset our focus, Father, on what is important, and that is you. Lord, I thank you, Father, that across the land that a great revival is going to break out, Father. Lord, that the churches are going to be flooded by people because they miss being with the church body, Father. Let us not take for granted, Father, what you have given us in the freedom to join together as a church. Lord, I thank you that during this time that we renew our minds, Father, that we grow in deeper knowledge in you, Father. God, set our hearts on fire for what your heart burns for, Lord. Give us a love, Lord, for your people like we've never had before, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that during this time that you use us to be the vessels, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. God, that right now that you're speaking to people, ideas, Lord, of what they can do to reach the unsaved, to show your love, Father, when people are scared and fearful, Father. Lord, I thank you for giving us wisdom, Father, and how to lead the church into a revival, Father, Lord, where the doors are flooded when we're opened back up, Father, with people who have turned their lives around. Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, for taking us to a new level. Father, let us never be the same. Let us never do church the same, Father. But God, let us have hearts, Lord, that burn for what you want, Father, and not for what we want. God, I thank you for taking us deeper, Lord, deeper in new revelation knowledge, Father. Lord, renew our minds. Cast out fear in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for positive thinking, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for doing all things, Lord, because you are God of the impossible, Father. Father, that you knew that this was going to happen, and God, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, Father, that you are the beginning and the end, and nothing is too great for you. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, Lord, that we stand in agreement that this COVID-19, that right now, that all across America, that as churches are live streaming, we rebuke this virus right now in the name of Jesus, that people who are in the hospital beds, that they're going to get up out of the hospital bed healed, that death has got to stop. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Father God, for healing to go all over the land, Father, and all over the nation, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Father God, that we're going to hear of miracles, Lord, that have taken place, Lord, from homes and hospital beds, Father. And whenever they're walking in the streets, Lord, that we're going to begin to hear of miracles that we've never heard of taking place before, because the church has not stopped. We may not be meeting together, but we have not stopped. God has not stopped working. And Lord, we just thank you for your power. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And now we just want to take a moment to just join together in a worship song. As we close out our service, join us right now as we sing. just want to say thank you so much for joining us today online.